Hello, hello everyone. My name is Miss Lela B.
Kia.
And I'm Lighten.
Hello guys, welcome.
How are you?
I'm good. So this is yet another hot episode. Let's make it hot, ne?
Yeah.
Of the Office podcast. You guys had a good week?
Yeah, yes. Busy. It was busy, but good.
Mm. Productive.
Making money?
Yeah, trying to be little hustlers.
Okay, Lighten, naughty corner. This is a naughty corner. All right, so guys, know your continent. Are you guys ready?
Yes.
Ready.
KYC.
Have you been reading up on Africa? Because the whole point of this thing is that we must read up on our continent and just find out interesting facts about, you know.
Mm. You don't do your homework. But I feel like we should know enough general knowledge.
Yeah. We actually should. Okay. So it's like, yeah, we should.
Okay, here we go.
But I don't.
So, this country in Africa, obviously, mm-hmm. has the largest church in the world.
The largest church in the world. Mm.
It's called Our Lady of Peace of what?
Our Lady of Peace.
Is it not Nigeria?
It is a Catholic church. Oh. Definitely wouldn't be Nigeria.
Yeah, because they're Pentecostal.
But then, Our Lady, Queen of Peace.
So life expectancy
yes
is low in this country, né? So okay, that's not really like a nice
but
it's also the world's largest cocoa producer.
Malawi. Oh.
It has two capitals.
No.
It also has its own St. Paul's Cathedral.
It has though?
It has.
Okay, they speak simple French.
Oh, the Democratic Republic of Congo.
DRC? Yeah.
It is not.
I actually don't know. Wow, guys. Wow. Sorry. Is Ivory Coast the same as Democratic Republic of Congo?
Sorry, guys.
Okay, I'm talking about Ivory Coast.
Okay.
Wow, guys.
Are they the same thing?
They're not the same.
No,
you are wrong.
Yes.
So they're not the same thing.
Okay. Ivory Coast is Côte d'Ivoire.
Oh, yeah, yes. This is Ivory Coast, my darling.
Okay, cool.
Okay, so you are wrong. You guys didn't get it. So we all don't know our...
Yes, no.
I'm so glad it's all of us.
Even the one asking the questions.
Okay. That was insightful. Thank you, Lela.
That was very embarrassing.
Thank you very much. Wow, guys.
Okay, so Kia, what are we discussing in office politics?
Well, now that we know that we don't know our Africa, at least one thing I hope we do know, or what we hope to find out by the end of the show, is, the question I'm asking today is make your hobby your profession an overrated piece of advice?
Make your hobby a profession?
Mm-hmm. An overrated piece of advice.
I don't think it's overrated. Why would you think it's overrated? Maybe you should tell us why you think it's overrated.
Okay, so let me tell you why I chose a topic for discussion today, because I find that people tell young people all this all the time. So, you know, find your passion, you know, make money from it. But does making your hobby your profession actually work? Does it not suck the fun out of everything? From a personal perspective, I mean, in 2012, this is when, you know, social media was becoming a thing and, you know, attention to social media was picking up in digital media. Yeah. And that's when I got my first job in social media as a social media manager. And I was running a page for a brand.
Yes. Mm.
And at that point, I was enjoying Twitter because I had opened my account in 2010. In 2012, I started doing this job. But then every time I had to now start doing social media posts and responding to consumers as the brand, it took the fun out of the damn thing. Mm. For me, like, it wasn't that fun anymore. It was just like, now I'm going to work. Mm. And I was chatting to someone as well today who was saying, I used to love Twitter, but now because I have to tweet for brands and whatever, it's not as fun as
it's because it's in that particular instance, it's because you, and when you tweet for your own, on your own page, it's, you're so free. There are no rules. What you say goes and whatever. So now when you're tweeting for a brand, it's different in the sense that there are rules. There's a specific tone that you have to waforsta, in other words, because it's not your natural tone.
Exactly.
So the specific things that you can't say and how you respond. And also when people swear at you, you can't say tech, you too.
No, you can't. You can't.
That kind of limits you as well and takes the fun out of it. So I identify with that as well, because as much as I also love Twitter, when I have to do a campaign and I have to post about whatever, whatever, I also don't like that part. But I do it because of money. I really don't like it.
Okay, and, girl.
Yeah, you do it because you want to get paid.
Fair, fair. I would, because I want to get paid.
No, for me, I think, you know, just to take it a step back, I completely agree with what you just said. But I think the whole, what becomes a problem is that we're not all well informed about what actually entails most of our passions. You know, you might be passionate about social media, but have you tried social media strategy first, like from that point of view? Because I feel like we fail to unpack what our passions are. For like, for example, like you're passionate about music, but have you ever considered like the production part?
Yeah.
And, rather than the actual, singing. The actual singing
and everything that goes with it. So I think for me, that's where it gets like a little bit muddy. It's like we need to be fully informed about other things that we can, because it's usually that's where the money is.
Yes.
If that's what, you know, you're looking for, it's where the money is. It's, and actually I find it more fulfilling because you almost help create, like, you know, a product.
But is it sustainable, though? That's my thing. Is that, you know, your passion, maybe licensed passion, could be something that generates a lot of money and help, is able to sustain him, can actually put a roof over his head, buy a car, whatever. And then maybe Lelo has a passion in Jay that doesn't even bring an income at all.
Yeah.
So is she going to eat fulfillment? Is she going to eat?
So then in that case, then I think it also depends on what is your passion. So in that case, then I would have a, like, let's say 9 to 5. Because, okay, let me make an example. I know of a guy, his passion is making clothes, and he's super talented in that. But he's still starting out in terms of his business and finding customers here and there. But he's working now as an admin clerk. Because he needs to make a living until the point where that passion can now sustain him. So I also think it has to do with when do you actually make it a career or a profession rather than starting it from the beginning. So there is some sense that has to go into all of it.
Yeah, exactly. I agree. And also it's not all of us are meant to do our passions as careers.
That is true. A lot of people are actually stuck in jobs that are not their passions.
Exactly.
Because at the end of the day, we have to pay bills.
We have to pay bills, and we have to be responsible, and we have to be adults.
Not fun.
Not that fun. But then also it's also weighing what's more important to you at that point. And you can have your passion as something that you like, that you do on the side, that you still like without having because I feel like sometimes people jump into their passions and leave their jobs, but then they get really frustrated because they cannot really make money out of it. And then they actually start not liking their passions. It just spoils the whole thing.
But I think I'm going to address, you know, something from an article by The Muse. Because the reality here is, as much as you want to push your passion, it all makes sense, but no one wants to spend years stuck in a cubicle either, doing tasks that are dreadful. But we rarely hear the other side of the argument. So an article in The Muse looked at 4 reasons why following your passion is actually very overrated. One of them being, passions are difficult to prioritize. So are you more passionate about maths or engineering, or are you more passionate about history or literature? Are you passionate about video games, or I don't know, Game of Thrones or something like that? Or so it's usually difficult to answer questions, because when you truly feel what you don't truly feel excited about things equally. Lelo might be passionate about travel now, but she's also passionate about podcasting, and she's also passionate about cooking. So you know, which then
I'm
of those would she you know so which ones of those would she follow,
which is why
and make money from
you, which is why then I guess you try and make money from all of them
if you can.
Exactly.
But then he also says passions change over time. So when Facebook, so you see, when Facebook pages did, you know, when you could like pages back then, I don't think it happens now, but there's pages you could like, celebrities, you could like. So if you go to your Facebook, you'll check your likes, right?
Okay.
what pages did you like then versus what you like then now? If you look
it
at
change,
it has changed.
Mine
right?
changes every year.
Yeah. Exactly. So the reason is what you're passionate about at 21 or 22 is not what you'll be passionate about at 30 and exactly. 40. So maybe that's why people have midlife crises mm-hmm. as well mm-hmm. and all that other.
And it's okay for these passions to change.
Yeah,
right?
It is. It's okay. I think it's okay because we do evolve as people. Absolutely. So I'm part of a youth leadership program. And on that program, I always tell the kids.
Youth leadership, women leadership. Ship.
What else?
Yeah? What money else, leadership. Yeah? What?
What else? What?
And you have to hear over the weekend on the gram. Yeah. Girl. Oh, you're
I'm
busy.
Telling you. Oops, you're busy. Wow, guys. All right. Sorry to interrupt.
I'm going to go check my Instagram. So, and I always tell the, because they're grade 11s, right? And I always tell them, guys, it's okay that you not might not do what you think you're passionate about now. Mm. So, I mean, at some point, I wanted to be a general practitioner. Like I look at it now and I'm just like, why would I want to poke people and touch people and open their things and whatever? Like, I don't want that. And it's okay, you know? So I think that's another reason why they say it's overrated. But also what Lighten picked up. Mm. You're not always good at your passion. Ha, 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 ha.
Yeah, no, that's so true, guys. You might, that is so true.
So, I mean, you might think you're good at cooking because but it doesn't mean you're great at it. Exactly. You know, the people at home might enjoy what you're cooking and not doesn't mean we will enjoy it.
I will give
neither
you.
Should.
Sorry.
Neither should. And I mean, also, another example is, you know, I don't know, makeup has become like a big thing and, you know, everyone's a makeup guru, whatever. Yes. But there's this one human being that I've seen who I don't think is really great at it, but is already putting out YouTube content, and I'm assuming is trying to attract brands. And this is, it's a concern. But I think it's one of those.
It's shade.
Shade.
A shade of what? Eyeshadow.
Actually, that works out.
But you're
right about you're not always good at your passion. Mm. I'm passionate about, I love television.
Yes.
And I used to want to be a TV presenter until.
Oh,
I,
you are?
Yes. No, and then I went to become a TV presenter and I'm like, no, actually, no, this is not my thing. Then you kind of,
likewise,
you kind of try it and learn, like,
yep,
not for me. I'd rather be behind the scenes doing
all
one, two,
I'm going to say so. Is that you see where Trevor Noah is? You, it could have been you.
Oh, no, no I was, I, guys,
no,
Trevor,
no, guys, let's, okay, we'll talk about Trevor the, another time.
How, yes. how, Liz? Sure, it's going to be lit. Must, okay.
Yeah. Lizzie.
Linda,
oh no, nothing.
I'm watching y'all. And the last point, following your passion is a me-centered view of the world.
Mm-hmm.
So Horowitz says that doing what you love is a self-centered view of the world because it focuses on what you take out of the world.
Yes.
Whether that's money, cars, accolades, or something else rather than what you can put into
except
the
there
world.
Are people who are passionate about helping. Mm-hmm. Like I think exactly. Oprah is probably one of those people who really just find joy in helping people.
Yeah. And then she uses her passion to put that out.
So back to your, is that the list now?
Yeah, so those are the top four. So obviously I don't know. We'll check what you guys also, I don't mm-hmm. know if you guys know for yourselves what you think might be overrated advice, because there's different types of, I mean, they I've seen as well. So another article highlighted, and I think this was CNN actually, it highlighted career advice that is overrated. One of them, of course, being you make your hobby your passion. Another one was stand out from the crowd. So they found that to be overrated.
But hold on. The part about, like, if I go back to your original question, where you say, is it overrated advice to say 1, 2, 3? I really don't think it's overrated advice. Mm-hmm. I really just think it does not apply to everyone.
Everybody.
Like any type of advice, really, it does not apply to everyone. So I believe in that quote. You know that quote that says, choose a job you love and you'll never have to work a day in your life? So I don't know who said it, but whoever they are, I really think there are people who are doing I'm just thinking of Gert Johan Kotzier.
Yes.
Where his passion is making clothes.
Yes.
And he's making moolah out of can you imagine if he had not pursued that? What would he be doing? Sitting in an office somewhere.
True.
So not repeat myself, but really what I wanted to say is that I don't think it's overrated advice.
It just depends on
who
you
are, on the person and the situation.
Yes.
Fair enough.
Yeah, no, I completely also agree. And just to add on to what Lelo said, I think that I also believe, like, you know, it's that it's not overrated, but what I also think is that sometimes we are not, going back to what I said earlier, we're not educated about what else we can do, about the options available in that particular field. And sometimes we'll also want to do things that are self-serving and not necessarily
helping
I mean, anyone. Yeah. So, I mean, you could pay it both ways. I mean, if I'm saying I'm following my passion doing ABC and then I do like volunteer work on the weekends, whatever. I mean, I'm serving other people, but I'm also serving myself. So I think we can have it like, both ways, right?
True.
Obviously, guys, as always, we always like to go to the streets and find out what the people think.
Yes.
I have someone who also gives their view on the topic, and this is what they had to say.
Hi, Office Podcast. My name is BA. So I think overrated career advice has to be make your hobby your profession, because some hobbies are very expensive. Without any income or an extra source of income, one wouldn't be able to do that hobby in the first place. So using your position or the position you are in as a stepping stone to achieve a set goal is more realistic and possible, rather than just saying to a person, hey, quit your retail job and pursue your hobby of being a DJ and make it your profession.
Yeah. He's telling the truth. And I don't think when people say, make your passion, turn your passion into your career, they don't mean without planning or, exactly. You know, obviously do it at the right time, start properly. Some, you might need to be stuck in a 9-to-5 pushing papers at some point. But while you are planning to actually do this whole...
And I've actually seen a lot of success stories where people still have 9-to-5s but are pushing their passions outside.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, Exhibit A, we have Khaleesi here.
Honey.
I'm sorry.
So my thing, okay, I've got like many passions. And I think the reason why it has been safe for me, I chose to always keep my 9-to-5 as I pursue my different passions is because my passions change all the time. So if your passions change all the time, you can't sustain, for example, the blogging thing was working out, we're already like, I'm doing well in that space.
Yeah.
And then I got tired of blogging. Yeah. So now if I'm going to start something else, which is, let me say, I'm starting a podcast.
Yes, yeah.
I'm not making money from podcasts because it's new. So how would I have been paying my bills?
Exactly.
Actually, that's a very good point.
So that's why for me, it's safe for me to keep my 9-to-5. Not that I don't enjoy it. I actually do enjoy my 9-to-5 because I get to deal with people, which is something that I love. But it's also given me, it allows me that opportunity to pursue my different passions as they change every year.
True.
But I also think like, just let us back something. Is that,
excuse me, Khaleesi.
Khaleesi sparked something. Is that, I think one of the things I think I see it with you a lot is that most of your hobbies that you turn into income, income for lack of a better term, are because of the authentic. And I think that sometimes we fail to make things look authentic, but you can't really make anything look authentic if it's not.
If it's not
and I feel like sometimes people jump on a bandwagon and then that's your passion, but it's not really
your passion.
Because you know why? Because you're following this thing because you see other people are doing it and they're making money. So I never start anything. I've never started anything because I wanted to make money. I've always started things because this is what I want to do. Oh, I'm excited about this. Let me try it out.
Exactly.
And then the money comes after. And I think that's also the safety of having a 9-to-5, then I can afford to start all these different things because actually I'm not desperate for the cash. So I hear what you're saying.
Exactly. And I feel like that's the challenge. Because, you know, I was reading like this marketing thing that was this marketing article and it was saying that a lot of people buy into the human truth. And if there's no human truth, people don't buy into it because they cannot really relate to it. And I feel like now people consumers of anything, of like a podcast, a blog or a product, people know, they can tell like if someone is actually in it or someone is just faking it. And I think that's also important.
That's true. And on that point, I've just noticed something. Like whenever I'm doing a campaign, people don't respond to it.
Yeah.
So it's like, it doesn't get as much engagement as like a normal post. And I'm like, okay, people don't actually like this. So look, I'm not going to stop doing it because you have to get paid at the end of the day. And I don't understand why people don't engage or don't like that. But I've noticed. So I guess it's because of the fact that, we want the real stuff. This is not authentic. This is not you. There's someone behind this post or whatever else, which is very interesting.
You know what? It worked before. And I think
that has to be done differently now.
Yes,
now it has
to
be done differently.
Exactly.
So now just to, you know, have people, and that's why you have people that just mute stuff on social media, like brands, mute brands,
Did
mute hashtags.
GOT?
No. I haven't seen that many. Like, I see it, but I haven't seen that many people tweeting about it. So no. Yeah. But all that stuff really does come to play. So I think authenticity, which I never thought of, is
another
one.
Authenticity is right.
And as much as that word is seems to be a bit of a cliche now, everyone's saying it.
Yeah.
I think we still it still remains relevant. It's super relevant. Nonetheless, guys, what do we take out from this discussion today?
Follow your passion, but plan. Don't just go blindly and say, no, I quit my job because I'm following my passion. Exactly. There still has to be a plan. Just because it's your passion does not automatically mean it's going to be successful. So there's still a plan that needs to be behind you following your passion to turn it into a profession.
Exactly. And also make sure that you're actually really passionate about it, not just following the masses. Yeah. I feel like that's what happens.
Oh, yeah. Everybody's starting a YouTube channel. So, now my passion is YouTube. Yeah.
But also my takeout is that make sure you're actually good at the passion. Before pursuing the passion, get advice from friends or family, get feedback, and then before you start YouTube channels for makeup, say what's going on,
and objective feedback,
and objective feedback. Yes, so
that's true, because I'm for people start and try, but then do get the feedback and actually take heed.
All right, then. Yeah. Thank you, guys. And that was Office Politics for today.
Awesome. Thank you so much for the interesting conversation. So we'll be back right after this. Awesome. Welcome back. So, Lighten, it's time for us now to take a break. We've been working very hard. Let's have some tea. You have something for us?
Yes. I always have tea and it's always hot. And this week is no exception. Starting off with Zahara versus the music industry. So, just a little background, guys. Like, I know you already have a lot of ideas about this and a lot of comments. But let's start off with like a bit of a background. So, people are not well-versed to the situation, know what's up. So Zahara recently posted on Instagram her contact details and asking people to reach out to her because she didn't want to be a statistic. And so that people could know what's happening with, like, you know, her struggle in the music industry.
So she posted her number.
Yeah, she posted her number, but it's a temporary number that won't be of service after 7 days, she said, or 5 days. Anyway, so, you know, and then she posted this this quote. She said, I feel like the fans deserve an explanation from me because they are the people that buy my music and put me in this position. I do not want to be like other artists who don't want to tell the truth. Some of my peers are suffering from depression. Some have thrown themselves into drug abuse. Others are into the arms of men simply because they're afraid of admitting that they have no money because of record labels not paying us. Okay, so let's
So this is a caption on Instagram.
And check it now. I think she's telling the truth about, we just don't know who the artists are, but we have like a few guesses.
Yeah, well, that's well, we do know of many artists who died poor.
Exactly. Yes. And so my question is that, right? Like, I don't really want to dwell on the whole thing, you know. She also said something about the fact that she's gotten help and she's been sober for 5 months because when she finished the bottle of
she's
wine.
She's been sober for 5 months. I've been sober for 5 hours. I'm kidding.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Okay. But she said something that was particularly funny. She said that she knew she needed help when she finished a bottle of wine alone.
I think if I ever get to that point, I'll also know that I need help. Because right now I can do one glass, two glasses at the most. Oops. If I was to ever finish a glass, then I'll also know I need help. And this is me. It's not you guys. I don't know, Kia. Why is Kia being so judgmental?
I'm not being judgmental.
No. I'm just saying, if I were to finish a whole glass of wine, of bottle, not last bottle of wine myself in one day, I don't
believe in drinking for my emotions, whatever. I drink because I must enjoy it. I would say my drink.
I just feel like maybe I need help. I finished a lot, but that's not the point.
Do you drink more than one bottle?
Yeah, sometimes. Depends if I like the wine and the food is good and the pairing is awesome. Sure. I don't know, but it's just me.
The one night, remember,
but
the one
drinking
time,
for your problems.
Remember the one time where you and I went to some place somewhere and we had a wine tasting and whatever that I got home and I was puking like crazy
because
I was drinking so many different wines. Yes. Yeah. So yeah, two glasses, that's my max.
But at least you're not drinking for your problems. You're drinking to enjoy it.
But exactly. Was she drinking for her problems?
It seems.
Yeah, it seems like an issue
because
was,
of her money issues.
But anyways, we digress. My question about this whole Zahara thing is that, is there, first of all, I'm not actually really sure if, is there a law on organ protecting recording artists in South Africa? Because we've seen this story before, and is Samro doing anything about how artists are actually treated by these record labels? Like, what, in terms of royalties and payments, is there a law that actually protects artists? Because then it seems like this happens quite a lot.
And there was actually another gospel artist who was charring people's monies, and he was like renowned gospel super king.
Who's
superstar.
This now?
I must check. I'll check for you guys.
Yeah.
But it seems to be where he was chowing people's money.
The one who was chowing Hlengiwe Mhlaba's money as well. Oh, yes. I just know the Hlengiwe Mhlaba story. I didn't know who
and
it was.
And a whole lot of them.
Oh my God.
And so that's why, I don't know. So I think as much as there's a law to protect them, I think it all boils down to contractual agreements.
I think
so. There'll be laws for everything, but when you sign a contract, when you send that WhatsApp, because WhatsApp messages are also contracts now, when you sign that contract.
Are you serious?
Yes. A WhatsApp message that I send you and you owe me money, I'm taking that to the small claims court.
But that is true.
I think also, I forgot what I wanted to say. Carry on.
But yeah, I think it's all, for me, it boils down to the contractual agreement that you sign and whether or not you read it. And I think I've done a stint in the music industry that involved such, you know, certain types of contracts, and I learned quite a bit about it. And that is why a lot of artists decide to go independent, because they have people who are able to advise them to say, you know what, be independent, but take a maybe a distribution deal, but not necessarily a full recording deal, because then you end up owing the record label and any money you make now goes back to them, because they've given you an advance.
It's a bit sad. The Zahara thing, because in her case, she was from Ezlalini. Yes. She just wanted a career in music, and then she came up. TS Records offered her something. I don't know what she signed. She probably didn't get any education in terms of this is how it works and whatever. Exactly. And she just signed whatever. All she wanted was to sing and to have her music out there, which is what happened. Yeah. So
I think it's sad, because the story is not the first time the story comes out.
Yeah, exactly.
But here's the thing:
she's not the only one.
But here's the thing about Zahara. Remember a couple of years ago when this whole thing, when she was still with TS Records, she actually, when this whole thing came up, she said, no, journalists just love to, you've got that thing there.
Yes. She basically said, like, journalists like making up stories and basically said people were lying about that she was having financial trouble. But now it seems like she's suing TS Records for royalties and all of that, which I don't get. But anyways, I think for me, it's what this highlights is that there's a need for education amongst artists, education around like contractual terms and all of that.
Who's supposed to give this education to these
artists? But I feel like Samro or somebody needs to.
Yeah,
I'm not sure if they're doing
anything.
But maybe
also the record labels need to be as transparent as possible. I don't think they are transparent enough. Yeah. Because if their people are signing funky contracts, then there's an issue. Then they're not explaining stuff to them. They just want to obviously, you know, take advantage of them.
But sorry to cut you off.
Because my thing is, I mean, even with the whole thing, I know that she in previous times she has, you know, come out to say no, these are lies, blah blah blah. But I don't think people realize how binding contracts are, and you know, and you get coerced, and now these people are giving you accommodation because I think she was living with that family, and then she was being given food and whatever else she was being given. So the poor soul was probably coerced into saying the journalists are lying and. So I'd like to defend her on that part.
She was on Metro FM. She was on Metro FM with Mo, and in the interview she says that the contract, she signed a contract with TS, and the contract said that if she was booked for whatever, they would take 30% of whatever the fee is. But she says they would book an event for her, charge the event organizers like 120,000, but they would only pay her 10,000, even though the contract said they would only take 30%. So I don't know how true all of it is, because I'm seeing someone who used to work for TS Records tweeting now, saying that Zahara was always high, was always drunk, and even sometimes when she had interviews, the girl tweeting Katli would have to go and sleep over at her house just to make sure that she doesn't get drunk. And be able to make it for the interviews.
Either way, whether I get drunk or not, just pay me my 70, fam.
No, but then also
that's true. That's valid.
That is valid. But then also, if you are if you're making working with you need extra work, then
okay, fair enough.
That those hours need to be accounted for. So then maybe you just deserve your 10 then.
Yeah.
You know? I'm just saying. But anyways, guys, and I feel like for me, this is an education thing. And I think also going back to what we were talking about earlier with, making your passion a career, I think it's worth educating yourself about
before you get into that field. Because there are vultures out here.
Exactly. Yeah. The vultures out here. And also, you need to know what, you know, you're entitled to what's, basic knowledge about the industry.
Like a few weeks ago, I had a friend who, you know, who was having an issue with a specific bank. And she then, you know, there was a dispute with a specific bank. She sent me some, you know, letter that she received from them, and they're like, yeah, you need to sign this and send it back to us as in yesterday. We need, you know, so we can process, blah, blah, blah. But she, you know, her gut feeling was like, you know what? Let me not sign this. Let me get my friends to look at it. Yes. And I'm glad she did, because she then gave me the contract or the form that she was supposed to sign urgently. I then got an expert on the case, and he was able to advise that actually, guys, it's a good thing she didn't sign, because she would have been contractually bound to ABC.
Oh my god.
So also, if your gut feel tells you, you know what, I don't really want to sign this now, and you have every right to tell guys, I'm not going to sign the contract now. I want to go through it. Yeah. No one's supposed to force you to sign a contract, like even an employment contract. No one's supposed to force you to sign an employment contract. Like,
like I always say, dodgy. You need to have three friends. You need to have a friend who's an accountant, a friend who's a doctor, and a friend who's a lawyer. That always helps.
I don't have an accountant.
Yeah.
I also need an accountant, but I've got doctor and lawyer.
Exactly. And it's like, I always, like my lawyer friend, I say, like, I feel like I owe her a lot of fees because she always reads everything that I have to sign.
Wow.
It really does help.
It's nice to be you. Dude. Okay. What else?
Basically, the lesson from this, I suppose it is, get yourself educated in whatever industry you want to go in and study it. Know your rights. Know all the ins
but
and outs.
But sometimes it's not always possible because people are just desperate to make a living and make moolah.
That is true.
So that's why, but then if you do that, then just know. Just expect it will happen.
Exactly. But then also, like, when you've made the moolah, you also need to start upskilling yourself or your knowledge when you're in it. You might make that mistake when you get in.
Because I heard Duguti Ghetto Raff is also suing Nati Mangai, who's now in prison apparently. Suing him for, they're saying that when they signed him, they agreed to, you know, Nati.
I was so heartbroken.
So he's apparently owing them two other albums. Yes. But it's not written anywhere. The contract is there, but the contract is not signed. So this record label is also now stupid. Yeah. How do you now have a contract that is not signed?
Stop it, Nati.
But anyways, moving all along. Moving swiftly along.
Yes.
Sorry. Topic number two. Mm. It's all about Beyonce. You know, I'm not like that much of a Beyonce fan, I will have to say.
You are
not really. Like, I always find it offensive that everyone always thinks like gay men is into Beyonce.
Why are all of us Beyonce fans?
But it's not that I'm not her fan, but I'm also not like, I'm not a beehive.
I actually fell in love with I've always liked her, obviously, but I've never been a crazy fan. Like, people will go crazy wild. Until I watched the Coachella performance, I get why people love her. Exactly. She's amazing. Yeah. That's someone who
has a good passion and is actually good at
it. She works hard. Mm. But anyways, speaking of working hard, Homecoming documentary is later to air on Netflix on the 17th of October.
I will watch that.
I'm also watching it because it's about
the Coachella thing, right?
Exactly, the Coachella experience. But what is quite interesting, you know, it documents the making of the performance, which is now famously known as Beychella.
Yes.
The interesting part that I thought was really, really cool is how the performance really started off just as a performance, but now it's like a political statement. It's like a piece of history because of what happened. Like, you know, she celebrated Black university culture in the US, which is quite big, but then it's really, not recognized because it's not really your Ivy League and your Abercrombie and, you know, all of that. So that was quite interesting. And, looking forward to that. And it's like,
I'm going to watch it.
2 days after Game of Thrones. So what? It's going to be busy.
It's like Netflix is like, isn't it like 99 yes. or 129? Oh, yeah. Come on.
Oh, that's not bad.
Or you can also sign up for a trial. 30 days free.
And then cancel after Beijing.
No. I see a lot of people talk about Netflix. So I'll definitely get it. It's not that expensive.
And now it's in South Africa, so it's cool.
Oh,
you don't have to do it through illegal terms in the US.
Oh yeah, apparently the prices are going up, so it may not be
exactly.
But anyway, you'll get the free trial. Yeah.
But also, Beyonce is voicing Nala on The Lion King.
When is it coming out?
Oh, that
it's coming
so
out. It's coming out soon. I'm sure it should be in their summer, which is our winter, which is around June. Yes, definitely this year. And shade, but no shade, guys. I'm glad that she's voicing and not acting, because as much as I love Beyonce, she cannot act.
What was that movie?
With Idris Elba.
Temptation.
No, that one was
fighting
better.
Temptation, and the one where she
Obsession.
Was obsession. Yeah, obsessed. Yes, that's the one.
No, it was really bad. And it was during the Sasha Fierce era, and I felt like it was literally Sasha Fierce in the movie.
When I watched that other documentary of hers, what was it called again? Life is But a Dream.
Yes.
After watching it, I felt like she just, baby girl has no personality.
I've never watched it.
I just felt like, yo, baby girl needs to like wake up a bit. And it's so weird because it's like she's two different people.
Completely
on stage,
different.
She's like, she's a powerhouse. And then
she's amazing.
And then she just does interviews and then she's like, how sexy. Come on, put some life into it. You know? Drink
but
water,
I guess
keep it flowing.
It is an artist thing because also Janet Jackson is really like, she's shy. Like, they always say she's on
freaky.
Mute when she speaks. Like,
she's on mute when she sings too.
Okay, the shade. But then when she's on stage, she's a completely different person. So I think it probably
it's
is
interesting.
That, you know?
It's interesting to see the two different personalities.
And Beehive, please do not come for
Kia. Can you imagine the person, then the energy, if she was like that, even
online, offline?
Oh, exactly. Too much.
It's like, exactly. Mm. Anyway, so the biggest thing, though, that I want to talk about Beyonce about is, Adidas partnership with Beyonce, which that caused a lot of conversation this week, because I don't know if you had, but she's releasing like, she's partnering with Adidas to release like some Apple
work.
Under Ivy Park.
Ivy Park.
Exactly.
Things.
Mm. And, Adidas is actually working in star power, because we know they've got Kanye with the Yeezys and they've got Kendall's or something for them, and Beyonce's coming, and I'm sure like Beyonce's really, really expensive. Mm. But then off the back of that,
didn't Kanye fight with Adidas?
Yes, he did, but then he's still back with them, so clearly they offered
him
more money.
With them?
Yes, exactly.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And his company apparently is evaluated around like $1 billion.
Mm.
Like
I
Yeezys,
heard.
Exactly. Mm. And, but the clothes
those
are so ugly, but that's another that's another story.
Kim wears them so.
Exactly. Mm. Anyway, off the back of that announcement, it surfaced that Beyonce walked out of a meeting with Reebok, who was one of the other companies that pitched this idea to her. And she had said, apparently she was sitting in the presentation and she asked if the people who were in the meeting were the people that were going to work on the brand. Mm. And they said yes. Mm. And she basically said, well, she doesn't know how it would work because nobody reflects her background, her skin color, and her experiences. So,
they basically
lost the deal.
Oh my gosh. So that's what happened. So they actually had the girl to just be having all white meeting with her, knowing what she's been doing in the last couple of years.
That's what I thought.
So
that was
silly
like,
of
it was,
them.
Yeah, it was quite, no, it was not really
but also
clever,
the
not
thing
calculated.
About it, the thing about it is they don't even see. They don't even
they don't see anything
that
wrong
this
with
is
it.
An all-white panel.
Yeah.
They don't even see it. So it's like,
It's crazy.
It's
I really
a good
find
thing
that,
she walked out.
And it actually brought a question for me, is like, how important is representation?
Because
it's really, really important. I work in advertising, and there's some times that you were in a room and were in a boardroom and we're literally trying to sell something to somebody who lives in the township, and there's nobody who has got a township experience in the room.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it's just, it's so wrong. Mm-mm. It's like, Mm-mm. it's so wrong on so many levels.
I mean,
well
think
done
even
to her though.
The thing about it is, if you still have to remind people or to highlight this to people in this day and age, nah.
It's really sad, but it's clear, it shows that they don't care.
We are past that now.
Do they
Come
care?
On.
They don't care, it seems. No. Exactly. But anyway.
And I feel like that's, you know, like representation is important in every, in every kind of aspect. It's not only that, you know, the black and white conversation. It's like culturally, tribally, it's like important everywhere.
Anyone who wants a lesson in representation must just look at Rihanna's Fenty Beauty.
Yes.
Exactly. Like, there's a lesson.
Well, yeah, that was the plug.
Even though I heard they got into trouble for some geisha product.
Yes.
Exactly. And they launched another
cultural appropriation. Yeah,
so,
yes.
Anyway. So, like, I don't know. People are too extra, man. Nah. Yeah, you gotta calm down sometimes. Not everything has to be fought.
And not everything is racial or like appropriation.
Yeah,
exactly. We need to pick up.
You can't even have fun anymore.
But anyways, guys, the lesson for this is that who runs the world?
Girl.
Beyonce.
Well, Beyonce.
Okay, so clearly we do not agree.
Well, Beyonce's a girl, so that works. Yes. Beyonce, girl.
Okay. All right, thank you so much, Lighten, for the tea. Let's take a quick break. We'll be back after this. Welcome back. So, packed my bags, gone to the airport.
Yes.
Come back home crying. So
what happened that time?
Lighting, no, I'll tell you guys.
I feel like I know what's going on.
Do you know the story?
I remember this one on Twitter.
I cried and cried and cried. So today we're talking, in Out of Office, we're discussing the worst travel experiences.
Yes.
Mm. I have quite
a few.
Some even embarrassing. I'm not even quite sure I want to share. So, Lighten, you start.
Okay, I'll start. So, for me, it was that I was going to Lake of Stars in Malawi, and I was meeting up with my friends, and it was fine, la-di-da. But then, because I'm lastminute.com...
It's like Lake of...
Lake of Stars.
Is it like a concert?
Yeah, it's like it's a festival that happens with the Lake in Malawi. And last year, they had Diplo, who was there. So, it's quite fine. They always have, like, jam... Like,
what time of the year?
It's in September.
I'm going.
End of September.
Can we go? Or you can't go back.
No, we can go.
As long as you have your CV.
Exactly.
Then start. Okay. Sorry to interrupt. So, carry on.
And then, because I always live everything to the last minute, I book a flight, you know, on cheap flights.
Mm-hmm.
But then I don't check I was like, okay, cool. It's like affordable. It's great. Mm-hmm. You know, I literally booked it like 2 days before I wanted to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, cool. It's fine. We're going. And then I don't read the fine print that actually coming back, because the flight to Malawi is like 2.5 hours.
Uh-huh.
And that coming back, I actually have to go to Addis Ababa. And then I have to have an overlay for like 5 hours. And then I have to come back here. And then I need to get to work. So,
oh, no.
And it didn't even take like a day. Like, I literally was going to. In my head, is that I was landing like early morning and I was going to have like 2 hours and go
but
to
how
work.
Do you not check though? Guys, that's the first thing you check. When do you leave? When do you arrive? And how many
all
hours?
All I saw, it was that business class.
I'm going. It's so cheap.
It's so cheap. It's the first time that I'm going to be business class without having to pay so much for it. So, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
That wasn't fun.
No, it doesn't sound like it was.
I was late for work and it wasn't.
Hey, but also, why? You know what I always do? I always take a day off, a day after I return from a trip.
Yes, I'm learning to now do that.
I just
that.
Do that because you need that time for it. Guys, travel is not like, it's not restful.
Especially
it's
if it's a long
drinking,
flight.
Drinking, so.
I've learned to do that. Well, that was interesting. So you still traveled like, you still went.
Yes, I still went. Shame. And
I have to check now.
And you know, when we had a conversation before how I hate the airport at Addis Ababa.
Yeah.
I really
do not like it. Oh no, it's bad.
No, it's bad. I really do not like the Addis Ababa airport. Addis Ababa,
do you know
it? Now in Jan. I experienced it then for the first time. Like now, look, for me, if I don't have to stay at that airport for longer than 2 hours, then an hour is fine. Like an hour and a half, cool.
Yeah.
But longer than that, then it's tricky.
Exactly.
And if you don't have, because luckily I was traveling. Sorry, guys, I'm actually getting off topic. Sorry. Yes. Carry on, Lighten. I apologize for wanting to share too much.
It's always good to overshare. But what I wanted to say is
And then I will ask the Rob to edit things out. Cause
and we're not editing anything today.
We're not editing out anything. But then I stayed at the airport. I think what I ended up doing was just making do with the time and then trying to do something. It was just like, it really wasn't the best.
Was it 5
best
hours?
Time. Yes. And then I always try to look extra cute and I was wearing really like, you know, like short shorts and a t-shirt and I was really feeling cold for 5 hours. So
damn.
It really wasn't the best. But, I did though go to that little, shop that sells like perfumes, mm-hmm. and I bought like tons of perfumes, so which is quite fun.
Okay, well, you did something. Yeah. And you have your worst travel experience? Do you have one?
My worst one had to be flying back from Botswana. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a little, it's express. I think it's called express.
Yes, express. Ooh,
those,
yes, it is.
Those flights that are going.
Yo, guys. Like, ooh. I didn't realize, but I picked, because I wanted a window seat.
Yes.
I picked the first one. So the first one is right behind the pilot.
Yes.
Guys, it was the worst experience ever. Like, I felt like throwing up. I had to force myself to literally pass out and sleep.
Oh my God.
They offered me drinks. They offered me I was like, guys, I'm sick. I'm going to die. Yeah. But it's the worst flight ever. Like, I'm even scared to even go to Botswana and fly on that thing. Like, I'm thinking to myself, maybe I should just drive in future.
How many hours is it to Botswana? Four?
It's not that far. Yeah.
Four hours.
6 hours, yeah.
Phew, six hours is a long time.
It's like going to Durban. But even then, I'm so tired of driving to Durban. I don't know.
I will never drive to. Okay, I did drive to KZN, but I don't think I would do it like voluntarily.
No, I wouldn't either. But that was my worst. I really hated it. Mm. And I'm actually scared to actually go to Botswana now.
Wow, come on now.
was it just sitting that particular seat and so, how the airplane
because
goes?
Going to was not the issue. Mm-hmm. So I was fine because I was like in the back, chilled, you know. But I felt like so, because I was so squashed, I felt like I was a little bit squashed and it was too much. And then I had my colleague next to me as well and she was just like, are you okay? Like she could tell that I was almost died.
Shame.
Being dramatic.
Sorry, baby.
But that was my worst. I'm trying to figure out if I have anything else. I was like, I can't think of anything else. I was like out of this world.
Yeah.
I think.
Well, I've been asking people on Twitter what their worst travel experiences. But I'm going to get to that now. I think the one that the first thing that I thought of when I thought of a worst trip experience, I don't know if it counts as a trip. If I got a visa, got my flights, booked a hotel and everything, and then got to the airport. I was going to Italy.
Mm. Yes.
I got to the airport. I'm flying via London.
Yes.
I'm not leaving the airport in London. I'm just connecting like
one hour. Transit whatever. Visa. Mm.
But I get there and I don't know. Me, I don't know that I need a transit visa.
Oh.
I discover this when I get to the airport.
Wow.
Shucks.
Did I not cry?
Wow.
And she had, I remember seeing this and she had to return home.
Wow. I had to go back home. My heart. I've taken leave at work.
Yes.
I've paid.
Yeah.
I've said goodbye to my son. I go home. He's like, and now?
Oh my God.
I don't want to talk.
That's painful.
I don't want to talk. I just cried the whole night. The next day I go to work. People are like shocked to see me at the office. Yeah. Now my eyes are all swollen. How? What's going on? Like, aww. No, I don't
want to. And knowing you already documented the leaving part on social media.
No. Luckily, okay. I had not. Yeah. Oh my God. That was the one thing. I had not actually talked about the fact that I'm leaving. My thing was like, you know, when you get to the airport to get to the slow lounge. That was the plan. I had not said anything except to my friends.
Yeah.
Obviously at work and at home. I get there, guys.
That is the most painful.
I have never been so hurt in my entire life. And then obviously because now I've already booked the flight. So I just spoke to SAA to say, okay, let's move it to another date or whatever. And then I went to get my UK visa and then eventually I traveled. Wow. So, but that was,
That is.
Can you imagine
horrible.
Having to go back home? You've already packed. I think
my bag
sat there for like a week or 2 weeks.
Wow. Guys, and you're psyched, man. You've planned. Exactly. Oh, that's painful. No. What do the guys on Twitter say?
Yeah. So the guys on Twitter are saying, this is Max Morpho. She says, the dude I was with skipped a robot and the cops started chasing, begged him to stop. And when he finally did, there were about 5 cops pointing guns.
Oh my
They
God,
searched
no.
the car while hands up against the wall and found weed in my box of ciggies, which is illegal. It was a movie.
Oh my God.
So I think now you don't want to be carrying weed in a foreign country, guys.
No.
Yeah.
So this other lady says, Noctula, Nox Nosy says, a guy we were traveling with got up from his bed, started shouting, Futek, Futek, Yegeni, Hamba, yo. We ran to his room to investigate. His eyes were wide open, shouting at the wall. Then he snapped out of it. First night in a foreign country. Breakfast was tense.
Yeah, I know.
Oh my God. Imagine, Futek.
Oh my God.
So that was that. And then there's another lady, last one. Her name is Kalpa_V. She says, finding out that the person I was on the trip with was cheating on me.
You.
I felt like
so sour.
I felt like I was in a bad episode of Gossip Girl.
Wow. I would be so sour. Like,
wow.
I wonder how she found out. I hope she didn't go through his phone, because then she could have just saved that for when
she
came
back. Can I tell
you
what happened to me?
Yes.
So on that tip, so I went, he was in LA for work, for whatever, for like, a, I think it was like 6 months or whatever. Yeah. So there was Christmas and New Year's during that year. So I went there to now visit. It's fun. You're having fun. Like New Year's Eve, we go to Vegas and whatever. And then we come back. And then there's one day we drive to the shop. And then I stay in the car. He goes out to the shop. Now the phone is there. I never look at people's phones, but there was something in me that said, look at this phone. I go to the phone, check the messages. Oh, brothers is busy conversing with the girl who's in South Africa. And I flew all the way to LA, to spend time with you. And you are busy texting someone who's back in SA.
Wow.
He comes back into the car. I'm quiet. He's like, what's going on? He's like, did you look at my phone?
Oh, he knew.
He knew.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, man,
guys,
what
this
the
was,
hell?
And I thought this guy was like the most amazing guy, because we had such a really good relationship. Mm. So we were just not talking. I was upset because I think I was leaving the next day. That evening, we were not talking. I was packing my stuff. He's trying to talk to me. I'm not interested. We started talking when we got to the airport. But even then, because we were chilling at the airport waiting for me to go. It was very, very awkward. And the reason why we started talking is because we were sitting next to a guy who was playing his guitar. And we were just like, that's when we started talking. But even then, it was not fine. So anyway, I got back home. We made up. He apologized. Got back home. A couple of weeks later, he sends me a message. This message is meant for that girl.
Oh, my God.
It's meant for that girl. Gosh. And they are discussing the fact that I found his her messages on his phone. So, worst travel experience. Can you imagine? You go, this trip is amazing, and it just at the end messed up because you discover the guy's cheating. Anyway, guys, I think that's
okay.
But anyway, guys, TMI.
There's more stories, but I think I'm gonna share them under
the hashtag
social media. Yeah,
let's share under the hashtag.
We'll
guys.
Continue the conversation on social media.
Hashtag The Office Podcast, please, guys.
Yeah, so you guys let us know your worst travel stories.
That would be fun. But welcome really to fun. Everyone actually who's been listening and who's joined.
Yes,
thank you, guys.
Louis. What's Lewis's handle?
I think what we're going to do now is
we're going to do shout outs.
We're going to shout out to new listeners, whether you're on Instagram, whether you're on Twitter. Like today, my colleague Boydu was telling me how she loved the bisexual episode. The bisexual
lovely.
Chat.
And they love the nasty stuff.
Your views actually opened her eyes.
Yes.
So
okay,
shout out
to
Boydu.
I was sent to the world to teach.
Exactly. Informative.
Yes. At Lewis since 88.
Yes,
thank you for
listening
to us. Okay, so thank you guys. It's been a good show. Really appreciate you tuning in. Chat to us on social media at Miss Lelobi, at Audacious20,
at Gary_M
#TheOfficePodcast. Thank you.
See you next week.
Bye.